Well, hey, good morning. Welcome, everybody. This is Donna, and you're on the line for Women's Empowerment University, 21 days of empowering you to break through. And we are on day 16 of the 21-day journey, and it has been absolutely amazing. We are hearing incredible testimonies of breakthrough in the area of parenting, marriage, finance, career. Women are getting breakthroughs in so many different areas, and it's really exciting. We've got a great message for you today. It's actually kind of part two of what we talked about yesterday in terms of spiritual atmosphere. So today, again, we're going to get really practical. Yesterday, I laid out kind of the vision and shared some stories, and today we're going to get real practical. So I'm going to turn it over to our eighth prayer warrior and ask Deanna Allen to open us.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are with us, and we thank you that if you are for us, then who can be against us? I thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper because we have the security, the knowledge, the authority, and the peace that comes from the blood of your Son. I thank you that every test that we experience is normal. It's normal. We're not abnormal. We're not the only one that is going through whatever it is that we are coming to you for breakthrough. I thank you that you keep your promises, that you do not allow us to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. You give us the power. I thank you that through Christ we have the strength to face all conditions. I thank you that although our minds and our bodies may grow weak, that you are our strength, that you are all we ever need. I thank you, God, that you are our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. We bring our whole self to you today, Father. We just bring our whole self to you. We lay at the feet of Jesus today, and we pour out the perfume of our soul. We just, all that we are, all that we have, all of our ambitions, all of our hurts, all of our unmet expectations, we bring them to you. We lay them at your feet, and we ask that you give us the wisdom and the discernment, the strength and the courage, the peace to go through this breakthrough in the way that you have ordained. You ordered our steps, so we're on this pathway. We're following you. We are expecting to hear from you. We are willing to be cheerful and obedient in what it is that you instruct. I ask, Father, that you would anoint Donna to speak, to be an oracle, a vessel that would carry your words directly into the hearts and then into the minds and into the hearts of all those from here to forward, those who hear this teaching. I thank you, Father God. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you all the praise. You alone are worthy of our praise. You alone. Be high and lifted up. We exalt your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Deanna. And I wanted to just remind you that we've given you principles here that can serve you for the rest of your life. Whenever you are needing breakthrough in an area, you can come back to the concept of a spiritual feast. Set aside time for fasting. Come before the Lord quietly and enumerate your sins, your part in the big sorry mess that you're facing. Again, let the Lord lead that. Don't make a big list of everything that's wrong with you and then bemoan your fate. Just come to Him and say, Lord, is there anything that you want to show me in my life that's contributing to the situation where I need breakthrough right now? And He will be gracious to do that. God never comes to you and says, oh, yeah, glad you asked, because you are a loser, and I've been trying to tell you that for a long time. I mean, you're just a failure. You're never going to cut it. You're never going to make it. That's the stuff the enemy said. Or, you know, that's the voice of your mom, your dad, or, you know, your big sister who was always mean to you. God never is going to communicate that way to you. When you come to Him and say, Lord, honestly, I need breakthrough. Here I am again. I'm coming to you. What is it, God? Show me. Show me those areas of my life that are contributing to that. He's going to be so gracious. He's going to be so gentle and kind, and you're just going to be like, oh, okay, I see, Lord, and that needs to change. I can't change it, but would you? And, of course, He will come in an attitude of humility. If your attitude is, this is a disaster, okay, my husband is ruining our finances, and there is nothing I can do. These kids have just gone crazy. They spend all their time with these wild banshees in the neighborhood. What can I do about attitude of humility that says, Lord, I come to you now. I know I can't fix it, but show me. show me the answer. And share the journey with a friend. Deanna and I, Deanna, how many of these have we walked through over the years? When I need to break through, I find either Deanna, I've got a couple other girlfriends, and say, look, I'm going to walk through a season of breakthrough. I'm going to be fasting. I'm going to be pressing into the presence. Will you hold my hand through this? And I always find someone who will do it with me. Joanna Weaver and I did one last year. We took 21 days, and I had actually had some, you know, being in ministry, you know, you kind of get some hurts with the church and that kind of thing. We spent 21 days just praying for healing in the area of God, give me your love for the church. Joanna has such a love for the body of Christ, for the bride of Christ. And that was something I needed in my life because I look at church people and I'm like, y'all are just messed up. The lineup, I'm going to smack you upside your head. What's wrong with you? We've got God in us. We shouldn't be treating each other like that. But she has a lot of grace in that area as a pastor's wife. So I look to her. So find someone who will share that season with you. And 21 days, I think, is a good mark. And then time. You're going to have to spend extensive time and make a way for that to happen, time in God's presence. So we've given you a tool, this spiritual feast, that you can come back to any time in your life. And I just wanted to remind you that. And I also want to remind you that at the end of this call, we're going to do something we've not yet done so far on this journey. We're going to open up the phone lines. We don't have anyone pre-planned to pray over today. We're going to open up the phone lines, and if you need to shift the spiritual atmosphere in your life, we're going to make that available to you. Now, yesterday I gave the example of David at Ziklag. If you've missed the call, I'll give you a quick recap. David and his band of followers had left their city, Ziklag, a city that they built, and they went out and helped someone else fight their battle. And while they were out helping someone else fight their battle, the enemy came to their homes. Boy, this happens to people in ministry. You have no idea. Came back and found their homes burned to the ground, their wives and children kidnapped. And one of the funniest verses in the Bible, go read this carefully in 1 Samuel 30. It said their wives and children had been taken captive, and they wept aloud over their children. They were okay with the fact that their wives had been taken, but their kids, you know. I'm just kind of kidding, but it is sort of funny that it says they grieved over the loss of their children, but doesn't mention them grieving over the loss of their wives. That these men, immediately when something goes wrong, people look for someone to blame. So who did they blame? They blame David. Was it David's fault? David wasn't even there. David was in another city with everybody else. How's it his fault? But they blamed him, and they were literally talking of killing him. They were going to stone him to death. And David did what I'm going to tell you today. He stepped out of that situation. He took himself into a holy place. He made the place where he was standing a holy place. He inquired of the Lord. He focused on God's agenda. He took authority, and then he took action. He went to the Lord. He said, God, give me your perspective on this. And God, as he did that, as he worshiped the Lord and inquired of the Lord, the spiritual atmosphere literally shifted so that when he went back to that group of men who were just, you know, maybe a half hour ago talking of killing him, it had so changed that the Bible tells us that their hearts were now, quote, with him. How many of you have people in your life that, let's be honest, they're against you? You know, you come up with this great plan for the family and the kids are against you. Maybe your spouse is against you. Oh, we're going to do this great thing. We talked about it in Bible study and it's going to be fabulous. And your husband's like, whatever. Let me put the football game back on. Not interested. Or maybe you have this great vision for a ministry you want to start at the church and you feel like everyone is against you and no one is with you. Maybe you have a vision for something you want to do in your community and it seems like every time you move forward, all you get is opposition, opposition, opposition. Maybe it's something you want to do at your children's school and you just keep hitting these roadblocks and you feel like they may not be threatening to stone you, but they're against you. And the atmosphere is just so resistant to what you're trying to do. And you're like, Lord, I'm just trying to do what I believe you've put on my heart. What is up with this? And you recognize this morning that your life would be so much better if the people who are against you were actually with you. Imagine that moment when David went back and God had worked completely in the supernatural. It doesn't say David gave a speech or talked them into it or gave a great sales pitch. He went back into that situation, and the atmosphere has so shifted that those men were now with him. And they said, let's go. Let's rise up. Let's pursue this vision that God has given you. And they march off with him. And today, how do we shift the spiritual atmosphere like that? I gave a lot of examples yesterday. If you missed yesterday's call, you need to tune in. And I even said it, I put it up on YouTube as a video. It just doesn't have any great pictures yet, but I'm going to add some graphics later. But I put it up as a video, and there's an audio. You really need to listen. It's one of the most important messages that you'll ever hear in the area of breakthrough, because it's not natural. It's supernatural. And one of you ladies asked for an acronym, so I got to do it. Shift. Shift the atmosphere. S is step back. You know, when you are in the midst of the chaos, when you're in the midst of the pain and everybody's got an opinion and people are upset, you know, you just can't hear from the Lord. You've got to step back. You've got to get perspective. And that's what David did. He walked away. He's like, you know what, this is crazy. This is chaos. And God is not chaos. And he stepped away. And some of us need to do that because we're too close up and we can't see things clearly. So that's the first thing. Step back and get perspective. Notice that David went to the priest. And maybe you need to go to a spiritual leader and say, look, I've got a situation in my life. I need to hear from God. Come and pray with me. Come and seek the Lord with me. And you can. It's so easy to look at someone else's life and get perspective on it. So we need to be open and have people who can speak into our lives. H is, I couldn't find a simpler word, so hallow the ground. Lincoln got it wrong. He said, we can't hallow the ground, yet we really can make holy the ground beneath our feet. And I would urge you, and again, don't make your family crazy, but I would urge you as far as you can to do a spiritual house cleaning, to go through every room in your house and see if there is anything that could be a landing strip for the enemy. I know, Donna, this could get weird. Well, then don't make it weird, okay? Ask God to lead you and direct you. And I'm going to be honest, as I always am. Now, I know you're all cheering for Donna, the great homeschooling mom. And I've, you know, by God's grace, raised two girls that, to be honest, everybody's jealous of. Blessed means happy and to be envied, okay? And that's kind of where I am. I have so many women tell me, pretty much everyone I know would love to have your daughters. They are two of the most beautiful, godly, sanctified, on fire young women of God that you will ever meet. They are. They're the envy of all the Christian moms around me. I was on a cruise with all these other Christian speakers, and my younger daughter was there. One of the other speaker pulled me aside, and she's like, yeah, pretty much all the other speakers are jealous of your daughter. I'm like, yeah, good, in a fun way, okay? So you're seeing the fruit, like, oh, man, that's just great. I'm sure it was always kumbaya over at Donna's house. Yeah. We used to do our homeschool at the kitchen table, okay? And if you know temperaments, my oldest daughter is choleric, and she's pretty much exactly like me. You can picture it, right? So we had this dining room, and the dining room table was where we would do our school, and there was a little chair in there, and I was sitting there one day, and my oldest daughter walked through and looked at me and said, what are you doing in the screaming room? The screaming room. I think she was 15, 16 when she said it. And I just sat there and cried that my children were going to go out into the world saying that there was a room in our house that was, quote, the screening room. Because get your math done, fill in the blanks. Yeah. How honest is that? And I thought, you know what? We need to shift the atmosphere in this room. This needs to change. And I removed everything from that room. We gave away the dining room table. I took every item out of that room and completely emptied it out. And I spent an entire night on my knees praying, and I actually, this is going to sound crazy, but that's okay. I'm not afraid to be crazy. I found this book. It was Catholic, and it was like, How to Make Your Own Holy Water. Someone's having a heart attack right now, but I'm just telling you what I did. I just don't know how to be anything but real with you. And I even found, like, purple scarf and put it over my, you know, like a sash, and I made my own homemade holy water, and I had anointing oil from Turkey. I was a desperate woman, okay? And I spent all night weeping and crying out to God and warring and interceding and inquiring of the Lord. How can I shift this? How can I change this? I don't want this to be the screaming room. Yeah, homeschooling is great, but not that. And then I went through my house and I gathered every sacred thing I could find, every cross, every plaque that had a scripture verse, everything we'd gathered back from a mission trip that I was certain it wasn't suspect. But sometimes when you travel and pick up little, oh, look at this cute little statue. Yeah, it's a Hindu god. Not cool. So everything that I knew was just a remembrance of the mission trips we'd taken and all the great things we'd done as a family, and I filled that room with it, and I set it up as a family prayer chapel / you know, we were going to do our homeschool there too. But I made it the most beautiful room. I put a fountain, flowers. I made it gorgeous. And the atmosphere in that room completely shifted. Whenever anyone came to our house, they would want to go and they would want to sit in our prayer room. I had two little rocking chairs. It was just the most beautiful, wonderful space. And I even had, because we do a lot of hospitality, people who are not Christians say, what is it about this room? And I'm telling you, something broke. Something broke. I literally felt some things that shouldn't have been in our house coming down the stairs and going out the door. I'm just telling you. I hallowed the ground. The atmosphere completely shifted. And that was when my daughter's life began to turn. We went through a tough time. I'm being honest. In her teen years, she was a goth. Everything black and chains and fuchsia hair. Heaven, sisters. It's not been easy. And there were times I needed breakthrough, and that was a night that I needed breakthrough, and I prayed and interceded. And some of you need to do that. Some of you need to get radical. My family came the next morning. They're like, what on earth? We heard you, Mom. What happened here? We did war in the heavenlies. That's what happened here. And it shifted, and we saw a change, and the fruit is good. So H, S is step back, get perspective. You know, I got perspective. I got a reality check through the words that my daughter spoke. Hallow the ground. Make a holy place in your home. Maybe you can't have a whole room. I used to have a closet. I mean, not a walk-in closet, tiny closet. And I would go in that tiny closet, and that would be my place to pray, to cry out to God. I is inquire of the Lord. We need to listen. If you do all the talking in your prayer time, that's a problem. We need to ask God, what do I need to do? And that's when the Lord showed me, you need to get everything, all the furniture, everything out of here, and start all over with a clean slate. God gave me that idea. And he led me to everything that I needed to put in there. It was like God was my interior decorator that night. S is focus on God's agenda. Lord, what is it that you want to do? See, for me, parenting was not about me getting Mother of the Year award. I understood that it's about God. God is raising up the next generation to advance his kingdom. There's a call on the life of our children. There's a purpose in everything that God's doing. And we need to fix our eyes, focus our eyes on God and what he's doing. That's what David did. That was his secret. And I have a whole teaching on why God loved David. If you think about it, Saul let some sheep live. That's what Saul did. He let some sheep live when God told him to kill the sheep. And God took the kingdom away from him. You're like, whoa, David committed adultery and murder, and God did not strip the kingdom from him? I mean, hello? Because David was focused on God's agenda. And when God told him to do something, he did exactly what God told him to do. He did some things God told him not. You know, he did some things on his own he shouldn't have done. But when God gave him an assignment, he's like, okay, let's do this thing. And he was obedient. And that's what T is. It's take authority and take action. When God shows you what to do, then you operate in the spiritual authority. With the assignment comes the authority to carry it out. And not only the authority, but all of the resources of heaven. Yesterday I shared the story about the Civil War widow, and God told her, listen, I want you to take a stand in your home. Don't run in the face of the enemy. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. God gave her that, and when he gave her that assignment, he gave her the authority and the resources. He literally sent an army of angels to encamp around her house all night long because she was being obedient to the assignment that God gave her. Now, imagine a woman that God didn't tell to take a stand. She would have been killed, raped, murdered, whatever. That's why we have to listen. We have to inquire of the Lord. We have to listen and say, God, what's the assignment? What do you want me to do? When we're just doing the assignment and carrying it out, with that assignment, God obligates himself. It's like, okay, what do you need? You need loaves and fishes? Here they are. You need the Red Sea to part? Okay, great. Got it. Done. What do you need? God will give it to you. You need the storm to be still? Okay, got it. God will give you everything you need. That's why it's so important to tune into your assignment. We're going to do a 21-day class just on that. 21 days empowering you for your assignment. It's going to be awesome. For those of you who feel called to ministry or a career or to launch a business, whatever, it's going to be so powerful for you. But then take action. I mean, sisters, you got to rise up and make it happen. Okay. Is there anything else I wanted to say? No, that's it. Shift the atmosphere. I like it. Deanna, you wanted to share a Devo that you have on freedom, and then we're going to open up the lines, and we're going to pray. Now, I want you to be thinking, is there an area in your life, it may be in your own soul, your home, for me it was a room in my house, your home, your neighborhood, maybe it's a school that your children attend, your church. Some of you are going to ask for a city or a nation. If I had more time, I would talk about what's happened in Canada because it's unbelievable. If you don't think there's been a spiritual shift in Canada, you might want to pay attention to the fact that their dollar is now worth more than ours, and it's been spiritual. It's been an absolute spiritual shift. I've heard the whole story behind it, and it's just amazing how Canada is coming up and the United States is we're in trouble here. So we're going to open up the lines, and we want you to share, where do you need that spiritual shift? And I'm going to ask Deanna, who is really powerful in the spiritual realm, to pray over you, and I'm going to hop in on some of it too. So, Deanna, you want to share that, Devo, and then let's just go into warring in the spiritual realm. Does that sound like a good plan?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But of course, I just have to give my little thoughts that were stirred up from your teaching. First of all, you were talking about, you know, putting the purple cloths over and making your own holy water. And, you know, to me, I've had so many stories like that. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, you don't have time to run to the Bible bookstore and buy, you know, anointing oil. So I remember one time my dear friend Michelle was going on a trip, and it was really early in the morning, and I took her to the airport, and I really felt like, you know, the Lord just said, anoint her. And I didn't have any anointing oil on me, so you know what? I used my chapstick. I mean, if my children with childlike faith can use their imagination and sit out in the field with dirt clods, little pea pods, and rocks and make soup, I mean, why can't I use my chapstick to anoint somebody's head? Why can't I? I'm doing it in Jesus' name. I mean, I can shift chapstick to anointing oil, right? And then also, what you're talking about right now is what I'm living my life doing. I posted pictures of where Team Allen is currently living. We're living on Grand Island at the Grand Island Mission, which at the moment just looks like a broken-down, gorgeous Spanish-style mission, but actually it's going to be a Christian conference, retreat, and event center. And we have 3 acres in the back, and God said that this place is going to be a place of wholeness and holiness. Wholeness and holiness. Well, God said that. And how is it going to become that place? Well, right now, I'm prayer walking on this property. I'm standing on that word that God said. I'm proclaiming that word. I'm shifting the atmosphere from a broken down place where people dumped trucks and boats and even came and dealt drugs and did ghost hunts in the building. And we've had people ask us if they could come and ghost hunt. And we said, you know, the only ghost we want a part of is the Holy Ghost. We are here shifting this atmosphere now. This is a place of wholeness and holiness, and we are doing that. I'm building a restoration garden. I'm putting in pathways of peace, and I'm shifting it. So I just want to let you know, yes, these are powerful principles. They do work. Donna, I'm sure you agree. We're not telling the women to do anything that we haven't learned to do and continually do on our own, right?
Yeah, and I wanted to, well, I don't know if we'll have time in this series. We'll have to maybe save it for a future series, but the power of a prophetic word. Deanna and I were praying together. I don't know if it was our 90 days of prayer last year, and I just had a vision. I said, Deanna, I see you in a vineyard. I see you in a vineyard. The Lord says he has a vineyard for you. And Deanna's family, I assume it's okay to share this, Deanna, they had lost their home, like a lot of people in the financial upheaval in California. And the Lord just led them to this mission and just put it right into their hand. And Deanna, I don't know if you called me, texted me a picture. She's like, Donna, this land that God has given us, it's a vineyard. And it's just amazing. You know, we stand on the promise. God gives us a vision, a word, and then we stand on it, and he brings it to pass. It's just amazing. So, Deanna, shall we just open up the lines? Is that what we'll do now?
No, I'm going to share this.
Oh, you're afraid of, right. You're for your ego. You got me all, go, girl.
Okay, all right. So freedom. You were called for freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Stand fast. And do not get entangled again in a yoke of bondage. I sent my son to be an example for you to follow. It is in knowing him, allowing him to rule and reign in your heart, that you will be set free. In him, you will come to know truth that produces freedom. And when he sets you free, you will be free indeed. Be filled with my spirit, for where my spirit is, there is freedom. In me, you are free to live an abundant life. Walk by my spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Many things are permissible, but not all things are profitable. There's a wide road that leads to death, but it's the narrow road I desire for you. That narrow road leads to life, a life of freedom. Though I may give you lots of liberty, do not let your liberties be someone else's stumbling block. Consider your example to others. It is better to live without room for accusation. Challenge the motivations behind those things that suck you in and then pull you down. Examine your ways and test them. Will your ways bring life or death, freedom or bondage? Since I will never leave you nor forsake you, you can come to me anytime for a way of escape from temptations. In me, you are free of condemnation, fear, hopelessness, and discouragement. You've been longing for and praying for freedom. I've already given you all you need to be free. Just follow me. That's it.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, ladies, if you need to shift the spiritual atmosphere, I want you to hit *6 and give us your name, and we will take you one at a time, and we'll see what God will do.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, my name's Michelle.
Okay, Michelle. Michelle, you are the cutest thing. Where do you need the atmosphere shifted?
The last year, I've just become really angry at God, and I've just kind of turned my back on him, quite honestly. And I'm trying to get back to where I was, and it has just been so hard because it's at a point where I just don't even want to talk to him.
Okay,
you know?
So you need to shift. You need to shift the atmosphere in your own soul.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Deanna, do you want to pray for Michelle, or do you want me to do that?
Oh no, I can pray.
Okay, sweetie.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that Michelle's heart is pliable. And although she feels that it's become hardened towards you, she would not be on this call. She would not be listening to this teaching. She would not be publicly confessing this issue nor asking for prayer if her spirit didn't know your spirit and wasn't coming to you hungry and thirsty. I thank you, Father God, for all of the other women, as well as Michelle, that need a shift in their soul, in their mind, will, and emotions. I thank you that the very definition of shift is to move or cause to move from one place to another. I thank you that it's a change in position, direction, or tendency. And right now, I just declare over Michelle and every woman that is seeking a shift in her soul, in the name of Jesus, we just instruct your soul to be obedient to the Spirit of God who allows you to move from one place to another. That in your mind, will, and emotions, that by the blood of Jesus and the power that is offered to us through the cross and the resurrection, that we can move from the soul realm to the spirit realm. And right now I just pray for a release, a divine release from heaven that would cause women to feel a breakthrough, like a metamorphosis, a caterpillar coming out of a cocoon, breaking out as a butterfly. I just see radical metamorphosis, women that are breaking through out of a cocoon of darkness, out of a cocoon of wounded place, of anger, of resentment, camping out on unmet expectations, and then falsely accusing you, God. We ask for forgiveness for those things that we have blamed on you when they're not your fault. We ask for your forgiveness for the dedication that we have made of our time to give to things other than you. We thank you that your invitation to shift is simply just to come to you, to come to you. You know that we're angry. You know that we're hurt. You know that we feel distant, but you're not. You're not. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I just command a shift from heaven. I thank you that you dispatch your angels to come and help to remove those obstacles. I thank you that we can fast and that we can see breakthrough in our soul. And we give you glory. We come fully expecting that this not is happening, but has happened. This has happened. We believe that and we receive that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I thank you that you gave me the same word that you gave my sister, Deanna. And that word is radical. That word is radical. Lord, that you are wanting to do a radical surgery in the area of women's souls. That if they're going to shift from that place where they are right now, that place of discontent, for others it's complacency, for some it's confusion, it might be turmoil, it might be status quo. God, that if there's going to be a shift in the area of their soul and the spiritual atmosphere that they carry, God, that they're going to have to get radical. And I think one of the first things, Lord, that you're saying is that you want them to go and look in the mirror, look directly into their eyes, stand quietly, look at themselves, and say, what is the spiritual atmosphere that I take with me as I walk out of this room, into the other rooms of my house, out the door, into my car, into the grocery store? And I just put a challenge to myself and to each of my sisters to be very, very alert to the spiritual atmosphere that we are bringing. Yeah, into the kitchen. What happens when we walk into the kitchen? What atmosphere do we bring? And that we would be very mindful and not afraid to do some radical things. For some of us, it means we need to fix our hair. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to get up in the morning and get dressed so that when we walk out to see our husbands, our children, we look like a woman who knows what she's doing. That our mind, our will, and our emotions, we've got it together. We need to be more alert about how we dress and how we present ourselves as we go out into the world. And that physical appearance, you know, how we present our temple, it matters. It matters. But, Lord, obviously we need to go deeper. What kind of emotions are we projecting? Are we projecting anger? Are we projecting bitterness? Are we projecting exhaustion? And, God, let's not be afraid to do some radical, radical things. And it's so easy to walk into someone else's house and see what's happening. I mean, I have even dear friends, and I walk in their house. I know exactly what's wrong in their family. They get in the car, and they listen to secular music. They come home at, you know, at the end of the day and they watch horrible TV shows that they've just become immune to the commercials and the sex and the filth that's coming into their home, and they don't even pay any attention to it. And so I would just encourage each of my sisters to have a friend, a trusted sister in Christ, and say, come and tell me, what do you see about the spiritual atmosphere around me and in my home? Get radical. Get radical. Don't be afraid to get radical. And when you get that feedback, as painful as it's going to be, to changes that you need to make to become the woman God would have you to be. Amen. Okay,
Donna,
do we have...
Like,
yes.
I feel like there are some women who have that have already experienced, like Michelle was talking about, kind of, you know, a Christian word for it is backslidden. Maybe you were in one place and you were on fire for God, and then suddenly you felt like, you know, where are you, God? What's going on? How come you're so far from me? Or maybe even like Michelle confessed that you're angry. And I feel like there are probably a lot of women that, because their eyes became fixed on their congregation and church people, maybe even their leadership, that they have kind of gotten a false image, you know, that if this is what godly people are like, I don't want any part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe, gosh, how come I can't get into the cliques that are in church? You know, I know that I'm called, I know that I'm anointed, and nobody will endorse me, nobody will release me, nobody will give me my platform. And, you know, for that, I just want to say that it's dangerous to be concerned with what others think of you, that if we trust the Lord that we're safe, but it's also dangerous to judge others. And so, you know, I just also encourage women that are disheartened or disgruntled because of other Christians in their congregation, that you really get with God and you deal with that. Get with God.
Yeah.
You know, those people are not God. First of all, confess that you've put them on a pedestal, that they've become your idols. Confess that, you know, that you're walking by sight and not by faith, that you fixed your mind on things of the earth, not the things of God, and then experience that shift. Enumerate those. Confess those. Get back to your walk with God. You're hungering and thirsting for God. It's not your business to judge other people's walks with God. It's God's responsibility to release you in his time and in whatever fashion. You know, people, we get upset with our church, and then we leave. And we go to another church, and we have the same exact issue, and then we get upset and we leave. And we're waiting for God to send us, but we keep leaving because we get offended. And so I just feel like there's probably a lot of women that are angry at God, and really where the enemy had that place to come into their heart and into their mind, this soul shift is going to happen when you bring that before God and you realize that, you know, that your opinion, your critical spirit, your judging of others, your focusing on all of their actions and getting wrapped up in that really has drawn you away from the body.
Yeah. Do we have a woman on the line that would say that's kind of where she is, that where she wants to see the shift in the spiritual atmosphere is in her involvement with her church? If that's you, you know, act quickly. Star 6 and say, that's me. I need prayer in your relationship with your church. And probably every woman on the line should have hit star 6 by now. You all love your church? I want to go to it. I want you to text me right now the name of your church, and I want to start attending it. Anybody in the area of your church, star 6.
Hello.
Here they come.
Yeah. This
okay,
is Bridget.
Give us your name. Your name?
Bridget.
Bridget. Okay, Bridget.
Bridget.
Briefly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Want to go?
Yeah,
and give
I would
your...
just like. Yeah, I would just like prayer. I've been trying to do a women's ministry at my church where we have like a craft night, and I'm trying to get people to invite other people in the community to evangelize. And I would just like prayer over that for it to really take hold, that the women really want to evangelize in the community.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift Bridget up before you and every woman who's trying to increase and expand your kingdom in the earth. We ask, Father God, for a shift from the natural realm to the heavenly realm regarding expanding tent stakes, taking property, taking our communities, Father God. Lord, we thank you that we are bold and courageous. We commit everything that Bridget is doing to you, Lord, and we trust you to help her do it.
and to do your will. And every other woman who's looking for breakthrough and shift in their community, shift in their calling, I thank you, Father God, that we can be bold and strong, that Bridget can banish fear and doubt, that she can remember that you, Lord, our God, are with her wherever she goes, wherever she goes. She can evangelize. We can all evangelize in any given moment in time. Christ, the hope of glory, living in us, we have power and authority. Our callings are not just not just opened up during small group time. Our identities in you are not just to be availed on Sunday mornings during second service or on Wednesday nights. Father God, who we are, who you created us to be, we are that person at all times. We ask that you would shift our mindset to understand that we are the church. We are the church. The church is not a building of four walls. The ministry that you have called us to does not always only have to happen within the four walls of the church. I thank you, Father God, for the amazing ability that you have given Donna in her calling and me to travel all around the country, to go into prisons for people that will not come to the church, but to go to them and to snatch them out of their darkness. For the tens of twenties of thousands of people that you have allowed me to speak to and to see come to Christ. And I thank you that it's Bridget's desire. You gave her that desire of her heart to evangelize her community. And I ask, Lord, that you will teach her to do your will. You are her God. Your spirit leads her, and she is on level ground. Father God, we just pray a blessing over our communities. We pray a blessing over our churches. We ask, Father God, that you would just increase the leadership of those that are over us, that we would be taught to rightly divide your word, that we would have heavenly influence. I just pray over Bridget right now for heavenly influence, that your favor would precede her steps, that she would not have to knock down doors, that she would not have to beg, and she would not have to push, she would not have to manipulate, but that, Father God, because her steps are ordered, that she would seek your direction, knowing that you give it, that you would show her where to go, and that when she steps in those places, the doors have already been opened. Your favor opens doors that no man can shut and causes people to give us things and opportunities, blessings that they themselves do not even understand. I pray, Father God, for Bridget and for every woman that needs a shift in their ministry and in their community right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just in faith, we place our foot on the ground and we claim it as part of our inheritance, part of our inheritance. You created us for such a time as this, and you've placed us in the land that you've placed us in, and you've surrounded us with the people groups that you've surrounded us with. And by your spirit, you delved out the gifts that are inside of us. And we just pray for a mighty release of all of those giftings, that there would be no sleeping giants, no sleeping giants. We sound the alarm, wake up, wake up, wake up, sleeping bride. We command that you wake up and that you listen to the Spirit of the Lord and that you go. Come, taste, and see, go, and tell. We thank you, Father God, for this release and for this shift in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. I want to pray specifically over the area of the home. Is there a woman on the line who needs to see a shift in the spiritual atmosphere in her home? If that's you, please hit *6 and share your name with us.
And that's me too, Donna, Deanna.
A shift in the spiritual atmosphere of your home. We want to pray for you. *6
Lou Lott.
Yes, yes. Lou, your name is Lou?
Yes.
Is there anything that you wanted to share?
I just want to say that I need prayer in the area of healing of my physical body, as well as a shift in the atmosphere in my home between my husband and my daughter.
Okay, and those are probably related. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for my sister Lou. I thank you for her faithfulness to be part of this group. I thank you that Lou continues to press in and press in and press on, that she desires and hungers and thirsts for righteousness, that she is eager for the breakthrough in her life. And Father, I want to pray right now for the spiritual atmosphere in her home. I want to pray for her physical body. These are related. What's happening in your physical body is related to the spiritual atmosphere in your home and vice versa. And I would encourage you to inquire of the Lord and ask Him to show you the connection. And sometimes it's easier to begin to work in the physical, to make some changes in the physical, and then that can kind of come into the spiritual because it's all interrelated. So, Father, I pray right now that you would begin to empower my sister with a vision for some very practical things that she can do. For example, David, the first thing he had to do was get on his horse and start riding after the enemy. It was something physical after that spiritual shift. So I pray that after she prays and prays and presses in spiritually, that you would begin to show her some practical things that she can do. Father, if it's getting the house into good physical order, maybe purging, throwing things away, giving things away. One of the things that I've done when I've needed a shift in my life is to start with that. Start by throwing away, giving away everything that I can and really making a physical space in my home and in my life for God to move. Start with simple things. Pick a drawer and clean it out. Begin to make physical changes in your home and in your body, you know, walking around the block, getting some fresh air, spending time in the sun, have your quiet time outdoors, even if you have to wear a coat, you know, and just begin to change things up, shift things up in the natural. Change the way you're doing things. Change your routine. And that things are going to begin to shift in your life. Deanna, anything you want to add to that?
Mm-hmm. This is an area that, you know, as you know, Donna, has been part of my personal pursuit of God for breakthrough. And what God is really showing me is that all of those things that we want and desire and even expect and feel entitled to receive, whether it's from our spouses, from our children, or from our family outside of the home, like my mother or siblings or cousins or whatever, is that we're the forerunners, we're the pioneer. We make that shift, and we get to receive the shift of that when we give it. And what the Lord has really been showing me is that if I want to experience the fruit of the Spirit in my relationships, then, and you even talked about this before, then those are the seeds that I have to sow. So what I'm doing right now is, you know, part of my enumerating and feasting is asking God where I'm not operating in the fruit of the Spirit. If I'm not loving to my husband, if I'm waiting for him to be loving toward me before I'm willing to give him respect, it's not going to work. I need to respect him. I need to show him love. If I want peace in my home and I don't want it to be a place where there are quarrels, then I need to be more gentle and I need to be more kind in my words. You also talked about changing simple things and cleaning up the clutter. And so that's just one of the things that I know God is showing me is to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. If I will sow the fruit of the Spirit, I will reap the fruit of the Spirit, that a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit.
Wonderful. Thank you. And then is there anyone who feels burdened for their community? And then I think that'll be the last one. Is there anyone who feels burdened for their community or their city that they would like to pray for? The neighborhood. Do we have one more?
Melanie.
Yes.
Donna?
Yes,
hi,
we
morning.
Hear you.
Yes, hi, I'm in Pensacola, and we have a big inner city prayer rally going on. You know, I know you're kind of close to St. Augustine, but this is the first city, and just a lot of walls are coming down and denominational walls, and they're having prayer meetings, and different people are meeting, and I'm involved in trying to get different homes to have them meet weekly to pray, just 3 or 4 people, and they want that really all over the city for our city, state, and nation, and we're getting ready to have a big, they're trying to have a gay marriage in the very oldest church here, and so we've been praying around the city, but, you know, the one thing you said that somebody did, they just went to this wedding and they hugged people. I kind of wanted to get some more clarity on that, but that kind of just put a spark in my heart when you said that, and so I definitely have a burden for that because I grew up here, my father's from here, and when my brothers did, I had 2 brothers die in 3 years, and the city just really rallied around and prayed for my family.
Okay. Well, then let's pray specifically for the city of Pensacola. Do you want to do that, Deanna? You want to lead off, and then I will close the day in prayer.
Sure. And I also, just for every other woman, you know, this is biblical that we start kind of in our inner circle, in our home, in our city, in our state, in our country, and in other countries. And not only for local missionaries, but missionaries that are called worldwide. I know that we've had some of those on this call as well. And so, Father God, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the cities where you've placed us, and we ask, Father God, that we would be up on a hill with our lights burning brightly, that we would not be a city with our lights off. I ask, Father God, that we would operate out of your love. I thank you that you said that where one can set 1,000 to flight, two can set more to flight, Father God. And so I thank you for this principle that you have given Bridget, and I ask, Father God, that it would be in our hearts for all of us that are called to really, really reach our city. We lift up Pensacola to you right now. We lift up Pensacola to you right now. And I ask, Father God, that your spirit would bind together the body of Christ. Although it's scattered, broken apart, divided, that you would bring unity, that you would bring unity to Pensacola, and that you would give the revelation to some of these different denominations and these pastors that the work that their church can do on their own can be so much more if they would partner together and they would come together. We don't have to believe in all of the same techniques. We don't have to believe in all of the same applications. We have to believe in you. We have to believe in Jesus. We have to believe in the resurrection and the blood of Christ. We have to believe in the power and authority that we have in you. I thank you, Father God, that Bridget stands. She stands in the gap, interceding, that she's a watchman in the tower over Pensacola. I pray, Father God, that you would increase her desire to come into the secret place and to kind of circle the camp of Pensacola. Circle it. Just like Jericho, just march around it. I pray, Father God, that you would maybe even gather some women together that will begin to do prayer walks in the streets, in the parks, that they will shift the spiritual atmosphere in the city of Pensacola and in all of our cities, that we can enter your courts with prayer and thanksgiving, that we will praise you, we will praise you, we will give you thanks, we will set the spiritual atmosphere in our communities by thanking you, by declaring your goodness, by walking around our blocks and declaring freedom of the captives that are in our streets. I thank you, Father God, that over Bridget and everybody, that you said that we will be a generation that will repair the breach. We will repair the breach. We will restore the peace of the streets that we dwell in because Christ lives in us. And the power of your Holy Spirit, the same power that rose Jesus Christ, lives inside of Bridget. She has that power. She has the access to that power at all times. And I pray that she would just continually be on her face and in her fasting, lifting up Pensacola and every other woman for their community breakthrough. We give you our communities. We thank you that you chose us. You placed this burden in our heart, and we seek you. We ask for the solution, and we will pray continually for your direction, your release, that bondage will be broken and breakthrough will be experienced, that our churches will be overcrowded, Father God, that the homeless would be tended to, that the widows and the orphans would be ministered to, that the jails and the prisons, that those captives would be set free, that those that are bound in addiction and homosexuality in our streets, that they would experience a love revolution. Like Donna was talking about, sometimes it's as simple as going into the place of the people that you want to see set free and giving them a hug. Love shows itself in action. You said that in the book of John. Love shows itself in action. Help us to not be so religious. Help us to be more about relationship, sharing the love of Christ in very simple ways that are meeting very practical needs in our community, that they would experience the love of Christ and they would want more. And we will see more and more and more come to Christ.
Amen. And Melanie, if I were you, the first thing I would do is go find Bridget that Deanna's been praying for.
because
Deanna's a prophetic prayer warrior. So somewhere in Pensacola, I truly believe there's a woman named Bridget that you need to partner up with because Deanna just prayed to the high heavens on her behalf. And I would agree that the prayer walking is very powerful, and that's something I used to do. We had moved into a new community, brand new homes, brand new development in Arizona, and we just, me another woman, and we added in a little couple once in a while, but day after day after day, we circled that community, and we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and it really is powerful. So I would urge the women here to have a heart for their community, for their city, to begin to prayer walk in the community. Father, I thank you that you are the God of the city, and that cities are made up of people, and that in a nation like the United States, where 80% of us claim to be Christians, and a lot of us are, Lord, that we would begin to rise up. Imagine a city in which every Christian was nice to other drivers. Imagine a city in which every Christian was pleasant and kind and polite and patient at Walmart and in the grocery store. Imagine a city in the United States where every Christian had a smile on her face everywhere that she went. Imagine a city where every Christian carried out the sermon that they heard on Sunday or the devotional that they read that morning. Imagine a city where every Christian operated in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Imagine the transformation that would take place if not, forget evangelism. The people who are already Christians would begin to live as Christians. This nation would be transformed in a matter of weeks. And so, Father, I pray that we would begin to rise up, yes, and shift the atmosphere in our own soul, shift the atmosphere in one room. That's where I started. God, I pitched one room in my house, and then over our entire house, and then shift the atmosphere in our neighborhood as we prayer walk and reach out and go out with a smile on our face and bake a loaf of bread and invite people over and make our home the open home in the community that everybody wants to come to. And then we begin to shift in neighborhoods and communities. God, we can do it. You want to work in this nation, God. You want to bring revival. And I pray that the women in this class would be part of it, that as they get the breakthrough in their own life, that they would not settle with that, but they would break out and break through to the next level of impacting those around them. Thanks so much, ladies, for tuning in. We will see you tomorrow as we come to the finish line of 21 days of breakthrough, just a few more days left. So we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks so much for tuning in. But for now, God bless.